Joining the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio this time by Zoom conference call is Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, Kate Greenberg. We'll be discussing several topics as we do each month pertinent to ag producers across the state. First off, welcome back inside the barn, Commissioner Greenberg. It's a pleasure you inside the barn again.
It's good to be here as always.
We start off these last 7, 8, 9 months getting the latest COVID update from you and how it's impacting the CDA itself and your employees. Anything new there?
You know, we continue to, of course, monitor what's going on with COVID-19 as we all are. I know we're in a tough spot right now as a state and as a country. And I know a lot of folks across rural Colorado are feeling the pandemic closer to home than ever before. And I've been talking to a number of folks for whom that's the case. And so at CDA, we are continuing to work remotely as much as possible, but all of our operations are continuing. Our team has just done an incredible job, you know, working in unusual circumstances and keeping business up. So we're going to keep on doing that, and we'll be coming back to be together in person as the pandemic and the vaccine allow.
Speaking of the COVID situation, the governor instituted a special session for the Colorado legislature, and it ended on December 2nd. So just this week, Commissioner, was there anything in what the legislature passed that the governor's expected to sign that addresses the needs of rural Colorado or even agriculture? What's your take on that from CDA's perspective?
Yep. So in terms of rural Colorado, there are certainly items in the special session that will serve rural. I mean, the first one is broadband, $20 million to create a broadband grant program. We know that rural individuals, families, and school kids, of course, struggle with access to the same resources as, you know, kids in more urban areas when it comes to broadband internet access. So that's a big deal. We need more of that over time, but that's going to help us in the near term. You know, the things that aren't necessarily designated for ag will still help rural. Child care centers support, food pantries with a preference for Colorado ag products. That's $5 million in that bill. In addition to this, you know, we've got the CARES Act dollars. We've actually got more dollars in the ag, the CARES Act dollars that went to farmers, ranchers, and processors. So over 1.5 million now have been diverted over there. So we're seeing lots of items that do serve rural Colorado that will affect agriculture in a positive way. Are we there yet? No, but we're on our way, and we're glad to see some of these items move in special session.
We'll talk more about what you just mentioned there later on. On November 30th, severe drought conditions have persisted across 100% of the state for over 15 weeks now. Actually, I think we're at 16 weeks or maybe 17 weeks now. Governor Jared Polis directed a shift from phase three, which is full activation of the state's drought mitigation response plan. Commissioner Greenberg, how will that impact Colorado's irrigated agriculture producers?
So the shift from phase two to phase three, which is full activation, brings in the Municipal Water Impact Task Force. So phase two is when our Ag Impact Task Force was activated. So we've been working for many months. Phase three brings in the municipals. That's a big deal, obviously, because now we're talking about drinking water. We're talking about water supply for municipalities. It won't affect our work with the Ag Impact Task Force. An update there, we've got a number of things on our plate. The biggest ones being a summary to the legislature with essentially what does 2020 mean for agriculture in Colorado, and what does the legislature need to be thinking about to make wise policy decisions that support ag given the conditions we've faced this year. The second component is an economic impact assessment. This is something that the task force is tasked with doing every drought cycle when we're activated. We're really thinking this year about, you know, how can we get more real-time data? You know, often we wait on mass data that has lag to it. We're working with CSU on some possibilities for understanding the immediate impacts. So all that work is continuing. It's great collaborative work with our federal partners, with ag associations across the state. And we're hoping to really tell the story of what farmers and ranchers have been through this year and, you know, get ourselves set up for more resilience for future years.
For those that maybe get to see the video, you and I are both positively thinking here. If you look at our backgrounds, lots of water in mine, lots of green grass, and a lot of green grass in yours too. But Mother Nature could sure help us out here. But it has been so dry for so long. But she could sure help us on that drought mitigation plan by sending down some moisture and some snowpack. Speaking of irrigation and data, back on November 18th, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Colorado Department of Agriculture are assessing new data to determine the extent in which PFAS chemicals, a family of chemicals that originate from toxic firefighting foam and other sources, may be contaminating irrigation water in certain areas. Should Colorado's agriculture producers that do irrigation be concerned about this data collection by the CDPHE, or no worries?
Well, right now, no data collection by CDPHE on irrigation water. This was a study that the School of Mines published just a couple of weeks ago. It was from a computer model. So they did a modeling simulation of what would be the range of PFAS contamination in irrigation water that would be uptaken by lettuce, what that was their focus area, that would have a detrimental impact on human health. So this is, you know, no PFAS has been found in irrigation water. This is simply a simulation. But of course, you know, we are concerned about consumer health and safety. We know this has been an issue for ag and other states. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had some of these issues here in a very, very small geography. So this, you know, we're not concerned about this being widespread. Like you mentioned, these chemicals typically come from firefighting foam. And again, we've seen this in other states where it has become an issue. So we are in conversation with CDPHE about how to approach this. Again, we have not found these chemicals in irrigation water this year. This study is about that computer simulation. But how can we make sure we're getting ahead of the issue and not have an ag or producers be caught off guard while we keep consumers safe?
I would think testing of salinity would be a bigger factor right now than PFAS.
Well, and we've been expanding our water quality testing program ever since we passed the bill in 2019 to test both surface and groundwater. So we've got a lot of items that we're testing for and expanding our capacity. But of course, that's always been in partnership with our ag community and, you know, never been from a top-down regulatory approach, but rather a health and safety and how do we ensure top quality of our resources.
My guest once again is Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, Kate Greenberg. Moving on to other recent news items since we last spoke. Since U.S. Department of Agriculture began offering the option of no-cost radio frequency identification or RFID livestock ear tags in early 2020, the Colorado Department of Agriculture State Veterinarian's Office has dispensed 59,120 tags across the state. That's a positive step, isn't it, for livestock producers in the state?
It is. And this is, of course, a transition. The U.S. is going through in a number of all across the country, thanks to our partnership with the USDA, we've been able to distribute, like you mentioned, Brian, almost 60,000 RFID tags to producers and veterinarians around the state. If folks aren't aware of that, we want to make them aware because we have this resource available to help support that transition. So if you are interested in receiving RFID tags, our state vet's office is the one to contact. And I know, Brian, you've got our press release on your website, which has all this information. It's the same as true on our website, but you can call our state vet's office at 303-869-9130 and speak with our team about getting RFID tags.
Yeah, traceability is a big concern, not just for consumers, but for agriculture, and RFID tags are a good thing and a good moving forward progress step for livestock producers. By the way, on November 30th, the USDA announced the expansion of a pilot multi-peril crop insurance plan for hemp producers. The expansion and other improvements to the plan will begin in the 2021 crop year. That's just around the corner. Hard to believe that we're already talking about 2021, but we want to get past 2020, that's for sure. Was there anything you wanted to mention about the changes from the CDA's perspective in regards to this hemp insurance plan?
Yeah, you know, I'd say anytime we see movement toward hemp as an agricultural crop, which it is, that's a good thing. We remain in some battles, I should say, with entities out there who don't see it as such. And, some folks think hemp and marijuana are the same. They're not. We know that. We've been operating two very separate regulatory programs for many, many years. Hemp is an agricultural crop. It's used by farmers as part of, you know, those who grow hemp as part of their business. You know, anytime we see movement again toward supporting production, agriculture, when it comes to hemp production, that's a good thing. Of course, insurance is a big part of that landscape of agricultural production, and glad to see more movement toward supporting our hemp producers on the insurance side.
By the way, the USDA also adjusted the acreage reporting dates based on regional final planting dates for hemp. The premium billing dates for all states changed to August 15th. If you want more information on the USDA's risk management programs for hemp producers, you're encouraged to visit farmers.gov/hemp. Moving on, you mentioned this earlier, the $1 million in CARES Act funds that were available to cover farmers, ranchers, and processors. To kind of recap that just a little bit, because this, the application process deadline's already passed. How many applications were received? Who received that funding? Or is there somewhere online that folks can see all that information?
Absolutely. So once again, the $1 million, we've actually gotten to move some more money into that fund, about over 1.5 at this point in time. We've seen, and by we, you know, CDA, we granted the dollars to the Colorado Farm and Food Systems Respond and Rebuild Fund that's been managing the grants. The fund received over $5 million in requests. So we know there is significant demand out there. Like I said earlier, have we done everything we need to? No, but we're fighting hard to get there and taking steps. And so I believe this week, actually, the grants will be awarded. There is an independent panel, review panel of all of those applications. That's hundreds of producers and hundreds of processors, at least dozens of processors and food hubs from around the state, all corners of the state. You can check out who has received funding previously. Again, this fund was set up to receive philanthropic dollars early on in the pandemic. The CARES Act dollars added to that fund. And if you go to cofoodsystems.org, you can see a list of the previous recipients who, again, are spread all across the state, corner to corner. So more information to come after this week on who was awarded. But glad we were able to get those dollars out the door before the end of the year.
Also, speaking of assistance, the USDA CFAP 2 signup is still underway. $14 billion is available. And it expires, though, as far as the sign-up time, December 11th. So that's just around the corner. Complete details are online at farmers.gov/CFAP2. I encourage everybody to get out there and check that out. Also understand that applications are currently being accepted by the Governor's Office of Board and Commissions for numerous state advisory roles, including upcoming positions at the Colorado Agricultural Commission, correct? So what's the process, Commissioner Greenberg, and is there an application deadline?
Absolutely. So these, you know, there's over 300 boards and commissions that the governor appoints at the state level. A number of those are with ag. Some of those are not with ag, but require ag seats. So we really encourage folks to think about, you know, Water Quality Control Commission, Parks and Wildlife. Those aren't in our department, but they, of course, seriously, you know, affect and impact ag. So the latest seats that are open are on our Ag Commission, which is our governor-appointed 9-member farmer and rancher board. You know, this board advises me, it advises the department. It's a Senate-confirmed board. It's really an incredible position to see the inner workings of the department and have influence over our direction. We meet monthly as an Ag Commission. All of that is right now remote. As we move beyond COVID, we will retain a hybrid. Of course, we look forward to being together in person, but we will have a hybrid so that folks who can't travel for whatever reason can still participate. But folks who are interested do need to submit an application. Those applications go directly to the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions. So that information is online. If you go to the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions website, you can see all those 300 boards and commissions that are available. The application is listed there as well. And really, it's a straightforward application process. Once you apply, you typically get a call either from me or the governor's office. you know, to chat about what your role would be on the board. For Ag Commission, we are starting this process early. These seats, we've got three seats that are gonna be up this year. They won't be up until March, but we're trying to get folks in early just to have a longer on-ramp, make sure we're doing our vetting and making sure as well that folks know that this is an opportunity for them. So I encourage everyone to apply as early as often. There's no hard deadline up until between now and the beginning of March. I did publish that I'm encouraging folks to get applications in by December 7th. That's based on an internal review. If you get it in after that though, you won't be disqualified. So again, check out the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions and as well as on our website at CDA. And you can find out more information there.
Is there a difference between the Colorado Ag Commission and the Colorado Ag Advisory Board?
Good question. I'm not sure I know the Ag Advisory Board you're referencing, Brian.
Well, there's been some questions about some of the appointments that were made there. So maybe it's the same thing and it's just a grammatical term difference, but hopefully we can talk to you about that as we get into January when the Senate goes back into the regular session starts in January and they start looking at those ones that's already been appointed, just haven't been approved by the Senate yet. I wanted to turn our attention back to the COVID situation. With the pandemic going on, there's been a lot of ag events that have been canceled. What comes to mind, just around the corner, National Western Stock Show has been canceled. The Colorado Farm Show that follows that's been canceled. And also understand on November 25th, the Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program, or CALP Board, made the very tough decision to cancel the 2021 Forum on Colorado Agriculture, which is was scheduled for February 24th of 2021. Any thoughts on that, Kate? Because it's just from our position on the Colorado Farm Show's board, it was a tough decision for us to pull that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You're not alone, Brian, in working with CALP and being a part of other conversations where folks are trying to figure out what to do for their annual conference. It has not been an easy decision. All of us, this is the time of year when we get to be together and get to be in, have that hallway time at these events. And I know CALP did not have an easy path and having to cancel, but they are like a lot of others. I mean, so many others are having to make that tough decision this year. So, I commend them on pulling through, right? And doing what they need to do this year. Are we going to miss the Ag Forum? Absolutely. But I think as has been said, it'll be a time for us to think about what comes in 2022. It's a lot of other opportunities to connect this year. And I'm hoping that 2021, this next year, we move through the pandemic, we get back into the same rooms together again. Might be a different time of year than we're used to. Just right now, I know a lot of folks are having to make those tough decisions.
And by the way, for those that don't know, CALP was an intensive two-year ag leadership program focused specifically on developing high-caliber leaders for Colorado agriculture who are well-versed in the complex and diverse issues of food production, agriculture policy, and the converging interests of rural and urban populations in the state of Colorado. You can learn more about the organization and even become a donor or a sponsor and support them at coloagleaders.org. And of course, in visiting with Danny Trawick, there may be something coming up here that I'll be visiting with her about, not to replace the forum on Colorado agriculture, but an event that they wanted to make sure folks know about, but they're still in the planning stages of that. Lastly, in a year that's resulted in increased strain on mental health and with the arrival of the holiday season, the Colorado Departments of Agriculture, Human Services, and Public Health and Environment remind Coloradans that support is available to people in every part of the state through a number of different resources. And I always like bringing this up with you, Commissioner Greenberg, because of the Colorado Crisis Services Project you guys have been a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah, in May, we launched our new and improved version of our mental health services program, which we were planning to do, but felt like it was ever more timely given the pandemic. We're doing the same around the holidays. Of course, the holidays can be a stressful time no matter what kind of year we're in for folks. Add the pandemic on top of everything. And we know that a lot of people out there are struggling. So we're just, again, reminding, our communities across the state of Colorado that there are free, confidential mental health services available. Of course, we are always talking to rural Colorado about this. Our partners at these other agencies, you know, we're all part of a larger behavioral health task force that's really looking at access to behavioral health care across the state. But again, we want folks in our ag community, folks in our rural communities to know that no matter what you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone, and that you can always call 844-493-TALK or text TALK to 38255 to get someone on the other end who's there to help you and can help you move through this tough time.
You can also visit them online at ColoradoCrisisServices.org, and there's more information about the mental health support that's out there online inside the barn with the press release that came out just a couple of weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving, in fact. All right, I know we've covered a lot, and we've kind of jumped around on a few topics, but any other CDA news or announcements or events you wanted to make mention of?
Well, you know, this week, Brian, we're hosting our Colorado Proud Symposium, which is sort of a capstone symposium from 2020. We've got an incredible panel. Former Secretary Vilsack will be joining us. We've got restaurateurs, we've got ranchers, we've got folks from all over the state who are going to be talking about what on earth was 2020? What have we just been through? And what do we need to do to set ourselves up for 2021? Kind of that same thinking, you know, we're moving through the end of the year. So we're real glad to be able to host events like that virtually and keep that connection and conversation going, even if it's online.
And I think Governor Polis is going to be on there too. And speaking of Secretary Vilsack, former Secretary Vilsack, I understand he may be on the short list in a Biden administration to be Secretary of Agriculture again. So we'll have to see how things happen in the next couple of months here. Before I let you go, though, it is a holiday season, like I said, but any final thoughts from you or the CDA about Christmas or New Year's?
You know, it's kind of what we say at every season, and I think we feel it most the holidays, just how grateful, you know, I am for ag, for what everyone does every single day. And of course, we're eating the benefits now of all the hard work as we move through the holidays, but just wishing everyone safe, healthy, happy holidays. I think we won't talk until the new year, Brian, and wishing everyone well as we move into 2021.
Those comments from Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, Kate Greenberg. Kate, I appreciate your time each and every month and the work you do for Colorado's ag industry each and every day. The Colorado Department of Agriculture exists to support the state's agriculture industry and serve the people of Colorado through regulation, advocacy, and education. Their mission is to strengthen and advance Colorado's agriculture, promote a safe, high-quality food supply, protect consumers, and foster responsible stewardship for the environment and natural resources. You can learn more online at colorado.gov/ag. And for more information, you can also visit the CDA's social media sites on Facebook and Instagram, too.